The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Wanna take a ride? Broadcasting from the sprawling outskirts of the Florida Everglades in the intellectual wilderness of South Lodoella, the outer regions of humanity that people move to just because it doesn't snow. This is the Nicole Sandler Show.
Woo! Hey, everyone! Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, and things have been sort of creepy and weird, more weird than usual, so I decided to go with the Art Bell intro to the show. Thank you, Boca Britt Summers, who's off celebrating her birthday. Here we are. It's Tuesday. It is a week to come that we've been looking forward to. Tomorrow is Mueller time, everybody. So we've already got the popcorn popping. There's no guests scheduled for tomorrow. I know by the time I hit the air at 3 o'clock Eastern, the testimony will be all but over. I will be working feverishly throughout the morning, gathering audio and editing the best of my abilities and coming up with whatever we can come up with by showtime. To bring you what went on there. I know Randy Rainbow has a new song out. It came out yesterday. It figures he releases the song on the day I don't do a show, but that's okay because we have it queued up and ready to go. Let me just warn you for a moment. I adore the Randy Rainbow. He actually was interviewed last week by Terry Gross on NPR, our Fresh Air program, and she is one of the best interviewers out there. For the most part, I'll put myself in her category because when I'm on, I'm on. When I put my mind to it, I can do a good interview. Anyway, one of these days, I hope to interview Randy Rainbow. But in the meantime, I adore everything Randy Rainbow does. I happen to like it better when he uses songs that I know because I can like sing along in all my gloriousness. This time out, he picked a Jonas Brothers song. I never heard it before, but now I'm on my third listen, so it's catchy. It's got a beat, and you can dance to it. And of course, he puts the Randy Rainbow spin on it. So with no further ado, we got a busy show for you today. We're going to reach out to our pal Dennis Campbell in the UK, where they have a new prime minister. Oh, my God. And then, of course, Gotta Laugh is here. It's Tuesday, so lots to come. So let's waste no more time, and let's bring on the Rainbow himself, Randy Rainbow.
Joining me now is White Nationalist Weekly Centerfold and President of the United States, Donald Jessica Trump. Mr. President, you have a long history of using race and ethnicity as a political wedge, but it seems you have now gone full Archie Bunker.
And yet I won, and I'll win again.
Calm down, bitch. Your Twitter attacks on four Democratic congresswomen of color incited xenophobic chants at a rally you recently held.
It's very sad.
Well, what's really sad is that your poll numbers seem to have gone up and, you know, you still have a strong support system. I mean, who the hell are these people?
If you look at Twitter, I have millions and millions of people on Twitter.
Ariana Grande has more.
And I never get good press. I mean, I haven't had a good story. I used to get the best press of the world. You remember the old days when I was an entrepreneur. I used to get great press. Now I get, because of what I stand for, represent.
Intolerance, bigotry, and the all-day breakfast menu at McDonald's?
And nobody's ever had. I think 93%. It came out the other day, 93%. And I'm talking about stories that should be good. They make them bad. Or
you're freaking crazy. Inhuman, merciless, extreme, and unfiltered. Oh, and also lazy. Yeah. So yeah. I can't help but be just slightly bewildered.
And I'll win again.
Bet your followers stick with you, whatever the hell you do. No matter how hard you screw them, they won't quit. Girl, your presidency's a mess. Your policies are BS, but they let you get away with it. Cause they're suckers for you. I guess it pays to be conniving and cunning. Cause they're suckers for you. Keep blowing dog whistles and watch them come running. Cause they're suckers for all of the criminal shame worthy things that you do. You do. And they love all the mythical fake propaganda you spew. Yes, you, cause they're suckers for you.
I'm glad that the president said what he said.
They've all been blinded. They think it's fine that you take climate change lightly. And they don't mind it. That you have phone sex with Sean Hannity nightly.
Ew.
They love your racist, sexist chants, your monosyllabic rants. If you can't keep it in your pants, it's no big deal. You validate their hate and fears, and it's music to their white ears. And then they say,
hey, he's just being real.
Cause the suckers fool you. When you say stupid things, they rush to explain them. Cause the suckers fool you. Yeah, they should just shut up and go back where they came from.
At Co, New Jersey.
And all the subliminal race baiting bullshit you do. So they're suckers for you.
And as we look ahead to 2020, I'm joined now by a very special guest, Senator Lindsey Graham, circa 2015.
Uh-oh.
LG, what's your take on Donald Trump and the rhetoric he uses to rile his base?
The way he is conducting himself is contrary to the values I hold as a Republican, and I think most of us accept as a nation. And I will not be part of this.
Uh-huh. And if you'll excuse me, Senator, I'd now like to welcome a very special guest, Senator from South Carolina and Patti LuPone enthusiast, present-day Lindsey Graham.
Thank you.
Lindsey, what is your take on Donald Trump's racist rhetoric?
I think the president did a fabulous job of talking about this problem. He did it in a smart way, in a compassionate way. Mr. President, you're the right guy at the right time. You can do it. Nobody else has been able to do it, and I want to help you.
So awkward.
They love your incoherent tweets, the hamburgers that you eat. They worship down at your feet like sewer rats. You could kick puppies till they cried, or make Kim Jong on your bride, and they'd all still rock their MAGA hats. Cause they're suckers for you. And all the empty broken promises you made, they're just suckers for you. You got them thirsty and they're drinking your Kool-Aid. Girl, they're suckers for all the despicable things that you're putting us through, us through, us through.
Fuck you.
And they love how you stick up for bros, call me criminal fools.
Oh, like you.
Because like
they're suckers for you.
It's a terrible thing that's taking place.
They're all suckers for you. Yeah, they're suckers for you.
Ooh. And I'll win again.
Calm down, bitch. Joining me now is white nationalist.
Oops, no. Calm down, bitch. Love, love, love the Randy Rainbow. And it's, I mean, it blows my mind that every time I play a new Randy Rainbow video, there are people in both chat rooms who say, who is this? I never heard of this guy before. Chuck E. Cheese in the YouTube chat room says, thanks, Nicole, great find. Hey, look, I discovered him maybe a year ago when he was already well into these. Do yourself a favor. Grab your favorite adult beverage or whatever, you know, mind-altering substance you enjoy. You know, just have a little fun. And go to YouTube and pull up Randy Rainbow. That is his real name. And enjoy. That is his newest one, his brand new one. I was actually waiting for something on the squad, but this was excellent. He's always excellent. He's touring now, and good. I want him to make lots of money. I want him to be fabulously successful. In fact, he was nominated for an Emmy for his web series, his YouTube series, The Randy Rainbow Show. Anyway, there's tons of them out there. He doesn't do them often enough for my purposes, but I treasure each and every one of them. So enjoy Randy Rainbow. I've got other stuff I can fill you in on when we have more time to just shoot the shit about things that are not very important. But there's stuff happening. So with no further ado, we're just going to get right. Oops, I hit the wrong button. Let's get Dennis Campbell on the line. Dennis Campbell is our pal in the UK. He's in Wales, and he is he's an American expatriate who's lived over there for for a long, long time. And he publishes the UK Progressive magazine. You can find it online at ukprogressive.co.uk. And I think we've got him on the line. Dennis Campbell, you there?
Good evening or afternoon.
Good afternoon here. So there's there's big news over there. I wish I could cue into my part of my recorded What's News where I announce that you have a new prime minister.
In fact, let me see if I can find. Hold on.
And therefore, I give notice that Boris Johnson.
Okay, no, here it is. Wait. Okay, so.
Well,
here.
The UK has a new prime minister.
The Financial Times reporting Boris Johnson is expected to be crowned Conservative leader on Tuesday, but he stands to inherit a party deeply divided on Brexit.
So you heard
parliamentary majority.
Hold on.
So you heard in my voice the little bit of trepidation there. Yeah.
Well, you know, the funny thing, Nicole, is that I was on China Radio in Beijing the moment it was happening, and they were 20 minutes late. So I quite literally had one earphone in my head where I was talking to the people at China Radio and the other earphone on the BBC listening to what it was. And literally, as she finished her first question, this woman who decided to thank everybody from preschool teachers on through to anybody who had anything to do with the election finally announced that Boris had won. As she finished the word of the first question, and we were able to say, yes, Boris has indeed won, and then go on with the questions.
Oh, my God.
It's astonishing.
I pulled two clips of audio dealing with this subject. Let me play the first one for you. It's a little something put together. I think it was put together by a TV station in the UK. I'm not quite sure where it came from, but it's fascinating. Here's a listen.
Boris Johnson, 92,153. And therefore, I give notice that Boris Johnson is elected as the leader of the Conservative and Unionist Party.
And above all, I want to thank our
outgoing
Johnson. Leader, Theresa May, for her extraordinary service to this party and to this country. There will be people around the place who will question the wisdom of your decision. And there may even be some people here who still wonder what they have done. And we know the mantra of the campaign that has just gone by. In case you've forgotten it, you probably have. It is deliver Brexit, unite the country, and defeat Jeremy Corbyn. And that is what we're going to do. And I know some wag was already pointed out that deliver, unite, and defeat was not the perfect acronym for an election campaign, since unfortunately it spells dud. But they forgot the final E, my friends. E for energize.
Oh, my God.
And I say to all the doubters, dude, we are going to energize the country. We're going to get Brexit done on October the 31st. We're going to take advantage of all the opportunities that it will bring in a new spirit of can-do. And we are once again going to believe in ourselves and what we can achieve. And like some slumbering giant, we are going to rise and ping off the guy ropes of self-doubt and negativity with better education, better infrastructure, more police, fantastic full fibre broadband sprouting in every household. We are going to unite this amazing country.
So Dennis Campbell, that's your new prime minister. Do you believe him?
Well, the EU shot down Boris's plan within moments of him becoming PM. So the bloc has no plans to reopen the negotiations. And I think Linda Green on Twitter, she's at Linda Greenism, said it best. Today, the UK has sent a message to the world that you can be sacked for lying twice, be derided as unfit for office by your ex-boss, have used racist language multiple times, but as long as you went to Eton and Oxford, 0.3% of the population can make you our PM. Hashtag not my PM. We've got 6 cabinet resignations so far. But who knows who's next? None of the biggies have resigned as yet. So, in all likelihood, they're just trying to play the odds and get the best deal that they can for themselves personally, because that is indeed what politics is all about.
Okay, I've got another great discussion for you on the subject. John Oliver was on Stephen Colbert's show the other night, and the subject Stephen Colbert asked John Oliver to explain Boris Johnson, and here's what ensued.
I need some UK political advice or knowledge. Can you give me a little bit of that?
Sure. What do you want to know?
It looks like
it's not going great. That's the kind of nutshell version of it for you. It's chaotic and it's about to get worse.
And I'm kind of off the caring about what happens with Brexit train, because it's just taken so long for anything to happen.
Yeah.
I'm like, let me know when it all implodes or doesn't happen, whatever.
That's fair.
But I'm interested in who the next prime minister is going to be, because the leading guy right now, if correct me if I'm wrong, is a guy named Boris Johnson.
Correct.
Tell me about him, because he looks like a failed clone of Donald Trump. He looks like they tried to clone Donald Trump with a toenail clipping.
Yes.
It didn't quite take.
And
what's his deal?
To say he's like a failed clone of Donald Trump is perfect, because it's an insult to both of them somehow. That's why I like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. I guess he's likely to become prime minister.
But what's his deal? Like, what's his deal? He known for?
Entitlement from an early age, a kind of deep, white hot ambition pulsing through his life, no real principles to name of any kind.
Uh huh.
A kind of cartoon.
And what about Boris Johnson? What's he like?
Well, that's the thing. They are like superficially, they are similar, but they're different in meaningful ways, and yet the end result is the same. It's like saying, what do you want to eat for dinner? A bowl of or a bowl of screws. You know, they're both awful, and they'll hurt you in different ways.
So there you go. A little bit of John Oliver and Stephen Colbert talking for a change about what's happening in UK politics, as opposed to, you know, the shit show that we're living through over here.
Yeah.
Now we're in it together.
You know, the interesting thing is that Boris is more likely to quote Plato than solve a problem. Whereas Donald uses his eighth grade vocabulary to say things such
as
bad.
Donald will create a problem and then claim to have fixed it by making it worse. Right.
Yeah.
So what happens now? So now just Boris Johnson waltzes into number 10 Downing Street, feeds Larry the cat, and goes on with business as usual?
Oh, no. There's a very formal process here.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow is Wednesday, and Wednesday at noon here, our time, 7 in the morning, your time. So those of you getting up to watch the Mueller testimony can see this. It'll be the last prime minister's questions for Theresa May. Then she will formally stand outside of number 10, resign, get in her Jaguar sedan, and drive off to retirement. At that point, Boris Johnson, I really
it's
can't
hard to say,
say
right?
this. It's really hard to say it, gets into another ministerial car, this one being the prime ministerial car, and drives the short distance to Buckingham Palace, where he has a formal meeting with the Queen.
Oh, that should
and
go
she
over
will
lovely.
Ask him to form a government to then, you know, go forward from there, because he's the leader of the party.
Does the Queen like Boris Johnson?
You know, the Queen is so classy, you don't know who she likes and who she doesn't
like.
What
do you think?
Yeah. No, probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, it's too much of a reminder of what life was like when Trump visited with her twice.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, she has nightmares over the thought
of Trump still raves about it, don't you know? Liz is his bud. It's his bitch, man. Yeah. Best friend.
Yeah.
BFF.
Uh-huh. This is not actually going to be good. I mean,
You
know, because he's really doing some nasty things as well. He wants to prorogue or suspend Parliament so that he can get his no-deal Brexit through. But his backbenchers, and even members of the House of Lords are already fighting against this draconian, almost dictatorial step. And when the heat's on in October, we'll see how many actually cave to his wishes. I mean, the correct thing to do here is just immediately order up a second referendum vote.
Yeah.
And then the Queen, as head of state, could ask the EU for another short delay, because he's ruffled so many feathers in Brussels and everywhere else around the world.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that an option? Is there an option for another referendum on Brexit or anything like that?
Well, there's always an option. The problem is will they have the guts to actually say, okay, let's put it through? You know, it's your guess is as good as mine here. I mean, the Tory leadership do not understand the impact of Brexit. And they tend to take that Churchillian view. The sun shall never set on the British Empire. Well, the problem is any one of 27 nations can veto any deal. And if it goes on for much longer, they will just toss us out. You know, meanwhile, here we're seeing grocery prices rise. Tesco announced, a rise on more than 1,000 prices. Petrol prices are rising. Companies have been relocating to the Netherlands, Germany, and France ahead of breakfast. And manufacturing is just hemorrhaging across the nation.
Right.
And, you know, Nero, now Boris, and the Tories are just fiddling around the power-mad edges. And no one for 2.5 years did anything to solve this particular problem.
Uh-huh. Wow. Wow. And so now Brexit is scheduled to happen by Halloween.
Yes.
Do you have reason to believe it'll go through as it's supposed to, or what happens now?
Well, I mean, they made it very clear moments after he won the leadership election, they're not going to reopen negotiations, and I see no reason for them. I mean, for all of her faults, May actually put together a pretty decent deal, except for a couple of things like the customs treaty. They wanted to get out of that. And then another thing they dealt with was this issue of what they failed to deal with is the issue of what about the 3 million people that are currently EU citizens residing here in the UK? I mean, you know, we came here in 2003, you know, thinking that, you know, you didn't need to have things like right to remain because you were an EU citizen. So no one has dealt with that, and none of the other member states have dealt with the fact that there are millions of members of the United Kingdom living in places such as Spain and, you know, other parts of the EU. So this is a mess. We're cruising and whistling past the graveyard, and nobody's ready for Brexit.
Oh,
soft
my God.
Brexit, hard Brexit, any
anything,
Brexit.
Anything.
You know, they've not addressed any of these massive issues that are creating huge headaches for, you know, Brits living in the EU and EU citizens living here.
Wow. Well, Dennis Campbell is with us. And Dennis, I've brought in another friend to the proceedings here. Gotta Laugh, who's my usual Tuesday partner, sparring partner here. So I thought we'd bring Laffy into the conversation. Laffy, say hi to Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing as well as one can do under the circumstances.
I can relate to that all too well.
I mean, I'm beginning to sense what the last 2.5 years have been like for both of you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've dropped 10 pounds and I have a dog that looks at me weird. So, yeah.
Oh, but he's such a cutie.
He's a cutie. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to get my dose of hammy every day on
Twitter.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, Hammy's become a fixture on Twitter now. It's just, I never thought that would happen.
Excuse me, but have you seen Jackson frolicking in the pool?
Yes!
Oh my God, okay? We can't talk Hammy if we don't talk Jackson. There's a great video of Dennis, you got to go on my Facebook
Page.
We're
going to have to talk about Nina and Murphy, my two
Okay. Well, you got to find Jackson frolicking in the pool, because on days like this, when the world seems to be just a total shit show caving in on all of us, there's nothing like the unbridled joy and exuberance of a dog doing cannonballs in the pool to splash my husband and getting out and going around and doing it again, doing it again.
But, you know, you're making a really good point inadvertently, and that is I don't know what I would do without Hamilton.
Oh, God, no.
He keeps me sane. This is, you know, they're so sweet and so cute and don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. All they care about is you and food. And, you know, walking him makes me happy. Playing with him makes me happy. It's the little, you know, half hour a day that brings my blood pressure down. So kudos to dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, without them, I would probably just jump off the cliffs instead of walking down to the ocean.
Exactly.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. So anyway, dogs keep us happy. It's one reason, you know, Donald Trump doesn't have a dog. So what is Boris Johnson's thing? I mean, is he going to be a warmonger? Is he as insane as Donald Trump? Is he as idiotic? I mean, does he have any business being in government? Or is this just a complete and utter embarrassment like Trump is for us?
Yes, 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 no, and yes. You know, he has no business being the leader of the country. I mean, he's been fired, you know, from two cabinet positions. You know, the most significant one being the equivalent of your Secretary of State, the Foreign Office, running the Foreign Offices, and he just manages to piss everybody off he comes in contact with. Who does that sound like? And I mean, it's just incredible how he's like a little boy that never grew up in a grown man's body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some very famous videos and GIFs out there of him tackling a small Japanese boy when the Rugby World Cup was going on.
And
sit there and you think, you know, he couldn't control himself or stop himself. And he literally bowled this kid right over, you know, him famously getting stuck on the zip line, hanging above the crowd, holding Union Jacks in each hand, looking like a buffoon. And I just can't imagine Winston Churchill or, you know, any of the previous prime ministers of the United Kingdom doing that.
No.
I can't even imagine Winston Churchill with that hair.
Who was it that said he was a failed Donald Trump clone? Was it John Oliver earlier?
Yes.
Everybody has been saying that. But that's probably why he wore a bowler. So if he had hair like that, he could cover it. But I don't know how we're all getting through any of this between the two of those morons. They're just buffoons. They're horrible people that people wanted in. People voted for these two.
Oh, because they're real. They tell it like it is.
But they the sound election, just like me.
Boris Johnson wasn't duly elected by the people of Great Britain.
No, right.
Right? He was picked by other members of Parliament. I mean, how did he get to that position? Something that obviously should never have happened, right?
Well, it's happened twice in the last 3 years. I mean, Theresa May ended up in the same situation. Yep. David Cameron resigned, and there was a leadership election, which everybody dropped out of, and Theresa May was last woman standing. And she basically never even got to the ballot point. She just was grandfathered in because she was the last candidate standing. She eventually called a snap election because she thought that they would pick up 100 seats. Instead, they lost a bunch of seats. So you may not have remembered them saying it, but the Conservative Unionist Party is a tip of the hat to the fact that they wouldn't be able to govern without the Northern Ireland Unionist Party. So they're a coalition government. And now if they have another election, they could lose altogether.
Wow. And now we heard the clip of Boris Johnson saying our goal is to defeat Jeremy Corbyn. Is Jeremy Corbyn still a force over there, or has he so been neutered by the claims of anti-Semitism? It seems like they're all going by the same game book here.
Yeah, they are. And Corbyn started out with such promise because he really, you know, ignited and got a bunch of enthusiasm going with the party. But then all of a sudden he just kept on stepping on it, and he allowed the Blairites, the quote New Labour people, the more centrist folks, the Joe Biden, shall we say, of the party, to get to him. And he just never was effective. He never really wanted the mantle of leadership. But of course, like everybody else, once they get that position, they're not going to give it up without a fight. And he's basically been battling to stay alive in his own party. And there's really nothing holding him there now because of all this anti-Semitism stuff that's been going on. And some might say if they were to hold another leadership election, he might not even win.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But he's the guy who gets to oversee Brexit. And now, is he going to have an easier time than Theresa May did in getting a deal for Brexit? Or is it going to be a no deal Brexit?
Well, remember the last time he was in this position, he was one of the Brexit ministers in the government after he lost his position as foreign secretary. He basically quit just before Trump came over for the first visit. She had a mass mutiny and she lost like 6 or 7 members of the cabinet. Some were saying that she could lose up to 60 between now and tomorrow. So that'd be the final number, would be somewhere around 60 cabinet ministers that resigned. So every time you hear somebody's resigned and left the cabinet, it's a version of who's that again? Because nobody knows who they are. So it's going to be interesting to see what actually happens, because some of the bigger names that are still in the cabinet may not be there tomorrow. It's going to be very fun to watch. This is what happens when a leadership changes, is that everybody starts jockeying for positions. If you've never seen it, there's an absolutely brilliant comedy show called Yes Minister, and the follow-up, Yes Prime Minister, which is one of those deep dives into British government, which is a lot of fun. They were produced by the BBC back during the era of Thatcher. And, you know, there's some wonderful phrases, you know, from this assistant to the minister. His name is Sir Humphrey Appleby. And he says, well, Minister, that would be courageous, because you don't want to do anything courageous. And we're seeing that right now with the Democrats in Congress. And you know, there's just all these little things that you can follow through every administration and every Congress.
As you were talking about, you know, the ineffective Corbyn and all that, you know, all the things you were just saying. Yeah. I was thinking that exact same thing, that I was ticking off Democrats in my head, ineffective, ineffective, ineffective. We all sit around on Twitter, because that's my domain, and they all complain about that the Democrats are doing nothing when they could be doing everything. And it's a big exercise in frustration for so many of us. And you seem to be saying the same thing.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, do nothing Congress, do nothing Parliament. They're the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't matter what country you're in. I mean, I've had a lot of exposure to the Dutch Tweede Kamer, and they're just as bad. I mean, anytime right. you have a bunch of politicians, you're going to have a lot of hot air and a lot of noise and not a lot of action. Things don't get done mm-hmm. because if you do take a bold step, you run the risk of either being primaried in the case of Congress, or here you could lose your actual seat in your constituency. So it's a scary, scary game for a politician to not speak their mind. They just want to fly below the radar.
What good are they? What is the point of being there if you're not going to speak up for what you believe?
The Dutch have this great statement, boven de meeline, which is the mowing line of the corn. You don't want to be above everybody else because yours will be the first head that gets chopped off.
Oh.
You know, and as corn grows, it doesn't grow regularly. Mm. You have, you know, if you look across a field across the top of it, you'll see a handful of stalks that are taller than the others. And they say the way they try to phrase this is you don't want to be above the mow line.
I don't know if you saw this or not yet. Dennis Campbell is with us from UK Progressive Magazine. He's over in Wales. Ivanka Trump tweeted her congratulations.
Oh, yes, I was going to cover that with my tweet spot.
It says,
exactly. Go for it.
For the United Kingston mom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Congratulations at Boris Johnson on becoming the next prime minister of the United Kingston mom. She didn't put Mon in. We did.
This is where you need to throw up a reggae clip.
And Randy Mayhem singer retweeted it with the comment: "Is Kingston near Wales?"
We have Kingston on Thames, but Kingston is the capital city of Jamaica, so that would be the head of rugby. Rugby. Hey, that's interesting.
You play rugby in the background.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah. Yeah, but good news happened last week, 2 weeks ago. We won the Cricket World Cup here, so we're a very happy country.
And we won the Women's Soccer World Cup.
There you go. So you got to take those bits of joy and dive into them wherever you can.
Yeah, and it's
We've
especially
got four stages left of the Tour de France. So
And it's especially nice because I'm so not a sports fan. What's her name? Rachel, was it Rachel, the woman, the head of the soccer team?
Megan Rapinoe
was such an anti-Trumper that she just tore his last nerves, and I love that.
Trump right on television. Mm-hmm. We're not going to the White House.
That's right. Yeah.
That's the best part of watching sports is that part.
Yeah.
Because I don't watch sports either.
Yeah, no, me either. All right. Well, Dennis Campbell, welcome to our party. We
thank you.
Yeah, it's not a fun party.
Bring
so
liquor.
Nice.
It's
so
not
nice.
A fun party.
I kind of have partly invited myself, but it was so nice to be able to talk with Laffy and you. And
I loved it.
No, but I'm saying welcome to our party with a leader of the country who is certifiably insane and an embarrassment on the world stage, and you know, somebody we need to somehow get away, get out of the world. We need to get rid of them. Can we put them in like a separate, like a G2 meeting? It could just be the two of them right now. I would like to include a few
others. It
reminds
me of Whoopi Goldberg. You know, remember when she said, you know those people that you see talking to themselves on a subway train? Yes. We should pair them up. That way it looks like they're having a conversation.
Right. So, but I think we can put in this little gathering of summers, of world leaders, a summit. We could have Trump. We can have Johnson. We could put Putin in there. We can put the guy from Turkey, Erdogan. We can put what's his name from the Philippines,
Little Kim,
Trump's girlfriend, boyfriend. The Duterte. You know, we can start there. Give them their
Poland,
own G,
Hungary,
whatever.
All of the
and,
far right.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
And then let some, I don't know. I'm thinking of one of these mass killers whose names I never say, so I can't think of a name. Put one of them in the room. Or put all of them in the room with them, and let them just have it out.
I think we should bring in the guy that accidentally shot the mobster in, where was it, Long Island or Staten Island?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I give him a half life of about 30 seconds in prison.
Yeah. That won't go well.
No.
I'm trying
to talk
come
to you
up
both.
With something. All right, Dennis Campbell, thank you, and best of luck with everything.
You too. Bye now.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So there's Dennis Campbell,
Dennis.
All the way from Wales. I feel for him, but we've been living it. So,
we're right there with him. I have a press one whole routine here if you want to go
sure.
for it. Like we never,
okay,
like this never happened, right? Like
so,
you're just calling me.
You know, we can officially welcome Gotta Laugh to the show. She's with us every Tuesday, barring some unusual circumstance, and we usually will welcome her to the show like this.
And now it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
All right. First, we get her on the line, and she's already on the line. So, hey, Laffy.
Yes, you've reached the Revenge on Trump's Racism hotline.
Oh, okay.
Press one if you think the squad should hire ICE to round up what's left of Trump's hair.
If they could find it or, you know, yeah, unstick
exactly.
it.
Ugh.
I can imagine what it feels
press
like.
Two, if you think we should cage Trump and force him to watch reruns of Obama's inauguration.
That would be fun.
Wouldn't it be fun to watch that?
Mm-hmm.
Press three, if you think Trump should have to live in a tiny, cold, filthy apartment with Maxine Waters as his landlord.
I'd like that. That would be good.
Have a nice day. Yeah, anyway, I had to get that out.
Uh-huh.
I got all thrown like, wait, I'm talking to Dennis, but then I can't do press one. What do I do? Oh, my God.
We can do anything. We can do anything. In fact, speaking of we can do anything, I gotta tell you something that happened over the last couple of days, which is there was a clip that was making the rounds on Twitter and on Facebook of a segment on MSNBC, of course, of Mimi Rocha, who I always thought was smarter than I've come to learn. You hadn't seen this, huh? Let me pull up the audio for you because I don't have the video pulled of this, but it doesn't matter. You don't really need it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to piss you off a little bit. And hold on, I think. Do I not? Wait,
I'm already pissed off.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, what is our biggest complaint about MSNBC?
Well, there's so many. One is that they keep airing Trump's little tirades live.
That's one for sure.
That's my major
right?
gripe. The other is their coverage of the election.
Right. And perhaps a problem with the way they treat one candidate in particular.
You couldn't be talking about dun 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 Bernie.
Oh God, no! The fact that MSNBC constantly disses him, uses any opportunity whatsoever to diss Bernie Sanders. Could I possibly be talking about that? I'm vamping while I'm trying to find this original. Oh, here it is. Okay, so this was from, and it's probably going to run a commercial, so I'm going to have to talk until the commercial finishes. Maybe not. Here we go. All right, so this was from Up with David Gura, who is no Chris Hayes, let me tell you that. And of course, the people he had the people he had on the panel that morning were Zerlina Maxwell. You know what I think of Zerlina Maxwell. Beautiful girl, very smart. I know she graduated from law school. She and I went to Netroots Nation for the first time together as DFA scholars. Okay, here it comes. But she is, anyway, she uses that to be a senior legal analyst on MSNBC and becomes senior director of programming of progressive programming at SiriusXM. I'm just saying, this is a girl way in over her head. Anyway, here's the segment. I'm actually going to cue in just a little
to that
bit.
Campaigns. Right. It's been my experience that talking about those two candidates as being in the same lane often does that. They really dispute that.
They're talking about Sanders and Warren.
Pockets of voters, different issue sets that they're going after. But there's no doubt that this next debate is really going to provide an interesting side-by-side of those two candidates in that effort. What we've seen in Iowa in the past week has actually been an interesting indication of how the strange bedfellows of a campaign sometimes can work with each other. You have the two leading candidates, Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, feeling pressure from their first debate in recent campaigns, using each other really as a foil to try to gain some momentum. So you had Joe Biden here to start the week talking about his vision for building on the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare 2.0, ways to make it more affordable, expand access to even more people with a public option, and really criticizing Bernie Sanders and Medicare for All, saying it's really not a feasible option, it's too expensive, and it's really going to end Medicare as we know it and end private insurance. Bernie Sanders, over the last day or so, has been really pushing back, eager to take on. That's the audiences he's been really appealing to. We saw Bernie Elizabeth Sanders support.
Okay. Sabrina Maxwell, so I just want to have you weigh in here as you look at these two candidates side by side, what the differences are. Yeah.
And she was actually more measured than Mimi Rocha.
Sanders, avowed democratic socialist. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren, believer in the markets with regulation, a more nuanced, a better patrolled set of markets than we have.
Well, I think it's interesting that you use the word nuanced, because that's actually what I'm thinking about as I compare them.
Uh-huh.
They obviously have the same similar set of values in terms of what the government should be doing for the American people and how you should regulate that government so that it works for everybody, right? They agree on that. They don't agree on the approach to get there.
And okay, so she's trying to parse her hatred of Bernie Sanders in a measured way, right? I'm waiting for Mimi Rocha to start talking, because your head will explode.
I don't have as much of the detail of how we're going to transform the healthcare industry, to quote, you know, something he says all the time, mm-hmm. right? And so how are you going to transform it? Elizabeth Warren, on the one hand, will tell me exactly how. Sometimes Bernie Sanders does not. So I think it's very important to have them on the same stage at a debate so you can make that direct comparison. You don't need to pay attention to political analysts like me, you know, where I'm saying one is a little bit more heavy on the details than the other.
Me.
You'll be able to see that.
Here
How
we
much
go.
Does that permeate the debates, John?
I mean, we've had one Hold thus on, far, I'm going to cue in a little further because I want you to hear Mimi Rocha.
Who are more in '16 election job so
Sorry,
far.
This is great
Can
radio.
Can she keep
I know.
It going? She has some problems.
It's going to be made on the go. Debate stage in Detroit.
Well, I mean, look, first of all, I think what the first debate showed us is that they do make a difference, right? I mean, we've already had at least one candidate drop out.
Ooh, one dropped out.
So, you know, it feels like this is going to narrow it further and further. I think, you know, having Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren next to each other will really highlight, because for me, as you know, again, I'm not the political analyst here, but just as a woman, probably considered a somewhat moderate Democrat, Bernie Sanders makes my skin crawl, and I can't
Excuse
even identify
me.
For you what exactly it is, but I see him as sort of a not pro-woman candidate. And so having the two of them there, like, I don't understand young women who support him. And I'm hoping that having him next to her will help highlight that, because those are the people that if I were her, I would want to say, well, why are you supporting him and not me if you're going to choose between the two of us?
Oh, my God. And you see Zerlina Maxwell shaking her head defiantly, like in agreement, in strong agreement. He makes my skin crawl. He is not a pro-woman candidate. Are you fucking kidding me?
Okay, first of all, this is why she shouldn't be a political analyst.
That's right.
And she's really good at legal stuff.
Right?
I really, you know, I've always liked her legal analysis. But this just doesn't make any sense, and it's just an out-and-out
and for the disdain. Person, for the person in the YouTube chat room who said, Garrett North, not everybody likes Bernie. Not everybody has to like Bernie, but he makes my skin crawl, and he is not a pro-woman candidate. Where the fuck do you get off saying something like that? And the thing is, this is not an isolated incident. This is par for the course for MSNBC. And somebody put together a little two-minute montage of similar type disses from the so-called liberal network.
Have the donkey in the room?
Bernie?
No.
Bernie. God. MSNBC has a problem with Sanders, the
Bernie Sanders makes my skin crawl.
Sanders fading is a bigger story than people have given her credit for.
The previous set of numbers about Kamala Harris seems to suggest that Bernie bros are actually a real thing.
He's just waving his arms around, talking about revolution and all, where we are going, we won't need roads. I mean,
one of the things I always hear from folks who aren't necessarily on the Bernie bus, so to speak, is that he's not really a Democrat.
I saw Bernie Sanders trying to raise money off of it. Yeah, my timeline's going to be on fire. I thought it was horrible.
And do you see any crossover, at least in those who are at his events, who kind of look and sound like Trump supporters? When you say he attracts those who feel like they're struggling to be heard and get their bills paid and their voices heard, that sounds like a Trump voter.
I see him as sort of a not pro-woman candidate.
And some people say Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Bernie Sanders has done nothing between 2016 and today to expand his base, to expand his policies. He seemed like a socialist from the 1950s yelling at people in the same screechy voice, without smiling, without any kind of personal connection. Bernie Sanders has been talking about these same policies essentially since he's been in public service for the past 25 years.
And that's
years.
A bad thing?
But he actually hasn't done anything to them, right? He's talked a lot about them, but we have not seen any of these policies signed into law.
What's his name?
You would take the risk.
I am excited.
Donald
Are you asking that of every candidate?
He's also saying the same thing he said in 2016 this time around. I think that's not working.
That's exactly the point I was going to make. I think he kind of got lost in the shuffle. Other people have kind of taken those issues away from him, and he looked like the angry man in the center of the stage saying, get off my lawn.
I think he comes off as mean. I think he's disparaging.
A socialist candidate is more dangerous to this country as far as the strength and well-being of our country than Donald Trump. I would vote for Donald Trump, a despicable human being.
No, you won't.
Let me tell you
Stop
something.
Yourself.
I feel like I've been raped.
Isn't that nice?
And with that, and that's how it ended.
Wow, that could have gone. Well, it's a little hard for me to discern what was being said.
The audio wasn't great. I think I retweeted the video. I will share it on my blog today.
Because it wasn't even that. It was just that there was so much over talking within the segments. It wasn't anything you did.
Right.
But the blonde that used to work, I believe, for Hillary, she's on a lot.
Yep. She worked for Hillary. Yep.
I didn't even know anything about her before I started to dislike her. I didn't know anything about her. But by the way, U.S. Congress authorized 9/11 victim compensation.
Really?
Finally. It's been done.
Good.
Finally.
Okay. Wonder what they had to give Ted Cruz and, Rand Paul and...
Rand Paul.
and Mike Lee. Because Mike Lee was the other one who put a hold on it. Just saying.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Anyway, she was on a number of times before I kept missing her introduction. So, I had no context. It was just, I'm watching this face talk on TV. And all I remembered thinking was, she's really bad at this. She doesn't say anything that means anything. She doesn't really come out with any meaningful analysis about anybody or anything. And then as time went on, she got a little more, I want to say moderate, but it's more conservative, with her analysis and her opinions, until now when she comes on, I mute the sound. I don't see any advantage.
It's horrible. I changed the channel.
I don't even watch her. I keep it on in the background just for headlines.
Elie Mystal was on this program on Friday, and you know me. Of course, I asked the questions, and he's so progressive, and he's one of us. And I said to him, do you get pushback from them over there for having these views? And then I said, but I don't want to get you in trouble. I don't want to cost you any money. Hopefully they're paying you a lot of money. And he said, they don't pay me anything. And I said, you're not a paid contributor? That's disgusting. They make Zerlina Maxwell a paid legal analyst. There's different levels. There's contributor. There's analyst, there's legal analyst, and so she's up there in the box. And Elie Mystal is not getting paid for these appearances. That's disgusting. But all of these no Trumpers, all of these these Republicans who just don't like today's Republican Party, they're the mainstay of whom MSNBC has on all these shows.
It's really depressing. It's really disheartening.
And then after Donnie Douche says the thing about the socialist, I'd vote for fight for Trump over Bernie Sanders. Thankfully, AM Jerk and Mika called him out on it. But how do they reward him for that? They give him a show.
Oh, I know. I've never watched it. I've seen him as a guest one or two times.
Oh, I haven't watched it either. But they gave him a weekend show.
Yeah. Then I saw he got a show and I was like, wait, what? Why? But I guess he's on... Because Morning Joe is on, while I'm asleep, it's on at, 3 o'clock my time or something in the morning. I never even knew Donnie Deutsch was a regular.
Well, now he's on late weekend afternoons, like at 7 o'clock.
Well, no,
six
now,
five,
now, yeah.
Something.
But
whatever,
I don't. Before he got his own show.
So I got to bring this up. So there's somebody in the YouTube chat room by the name of KB Love who is seemingly bragging that, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, that this person has never voted before. I've never voted a day in my life. So I said, that's nothing to be proud of. And so he responds, are you my judge?
What?
Yeah. No, I just think you're a fucking idiot. God. And you know what? People like you, KB Judge, whoever you are, or KB Love, no love there. It's people like you who don't vote are the ones who gave us Donald Trump. If you get off your fat ass and do the right thing for the country and vote against a sick individual like Trump, who was poised to take over the White House, it's your fault. People like you, people who could have voted and didn't. So KB Love, get the fuck out of my chat room. Don't watch my show. If you're not going to vote, I don't want you here. Is that clear enough?
Well, not only that, is that person expressing opinions? Because if they are criticizing what's going on right now and they didn't vote, then their criticism is absolutely
right. You have no say. You have no skin in this game. You didn't vote. You have no say. You can't complain. You can't do anything. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I do have a few tweets that I told you in privately that I've been having some trouble with my browsers. I was with Twitter.
Yes.
And finally, I got that new Twitter, which I hate. But I was trying to switch browsers, and I had all my tweets for you in the wrong browser, and they all disappeared. They all just disappeared. So I have new ones. I do have new ones, and I have a couple from yesterday. If you want to do tweeties, I have a couple we can run through in the short time we have left.
Okay. Sure. You want me to let loose the birdies? They're itching to get out. Itching to get out, I tell you.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay, it's all yours.
Okie doke. Well, here's something, because I live in California, so this means something, especially to the people out here in hot land. This is from the LA Times. Heading into the hottest and driest months of the wildfire season, the Department of Interior is short hundreds of firefighters, a result of recruitment problems and the longest federal government shutdown in history. So I'm just going to, go bang my head on the wall, if you'll excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But now a good news story, because that was a bad news story. Here's a nice one. This is from the New York Daily News. Nashville neighbors stop ICE agents from nabbing father and son by linking arms in their driveway.
Awesome. Awesome.
I love that story.
Yeah. By the way, did you hear of those thousands of raids and all the people that were going to be deported?
Yes. They got 35
people were detained. That would be three tens and a five.
The Daily Beast put up Trump administration to take food stamps away from 3 million Americans, which is, of course, so pro-life of them.
Oh, yeah.
And Andy Lassner, who, of course, Twitter is making it harder and harder for me to see who these people are now, from The Ellen Show, executive producer of The Ellen Show, says he's going to starve his base.
Okay. Yeah, he just might, actually. Yeah.
Amazing. Isn't it how that works?
Let them all die off.
Julia Ioffe, who is an expert in all things Russia and so on, she's with GQ magazine. She said, I swear to God, if I see another Mueller's testimony will be a turning point take, .. In other words, all this bullshit that they've been talking about. I mean, I'm just sick of it all. All the speculation. Over and over and over on the news channels about how the Mueller testimony is going to go. And is it a total waste of time? Is it meaningless now because it's too late? And other people like me saying, well, no, if you can educate voters and people who have never even heard about this stuff, haven't read it, so they have to see the movie. It's not a waste. But she's saying she's pissed off at people who are saying Mueller's testimony will be a turning point. And I agree. It won't be a turning point. It will educate some people. It will be useful.
Mm-hmm.
It will remind people, and it will put it right back in the 24/7 news cycle, and it's going to drive Trump crazy, and it already has.
Exactly.
Because he's been tweeting about it nonstop for days now.
Yep. And the thing is, what the Democrats allegedly are really coordinating. They're doing practice question and answer sessions. They have divided the topics so that they won't be stepping on each other asking the same things, because they know they only have a limited amount of time. So they're splitting up the subjects so that each person has their own questioning line, and hopefully they're just going to ask the question the way it's supposed to be asked and then give Mueller time to actually answer rather than do the grandstanding thing. I don't know if you saw it. The other night, Nadler.
Yes, I did see this.
Gerald Nadler was on with Chris Hayes. I won't play the whole thing because it's a long clip. But here's a little bit of them talking about how what they're doing to prepare for the Mueller testimony.
I think you probably understand why people feel impatient, particularly when they see the scene play out that we saw last night. What's your elevator pitch to folks about what is essentially, I think, a kind of tortoise and hare approach, a sort of scrupulous collection of the facts?
Well, we have no choice. We have to do what we're doing. We have never, no Congress in history has faced an administration that simply ignored all subpoenas and all requests for information.
Am I right that they still have just ignored everything? Have they turned anything over to the Judiciary Committee?
They have turned over some stuff.
They have.
But we call in witnesses and they say, don't appear. We call in witnesses and they say they have absolute immunity, don't answer anything about anything that you saw or heard or said during the administration. This claim of absolute immunity is nonsense, but we have to break it. So we're having the Mueller hearing next week in which we will show, I mean, first of all, the president, the attorney general, and the right-wing media have been lying about what was in the Mueller report, no collusion, no obstruction, which was simply not true. We have to show the American people what was there. The special counsel indicted 37 individuals for breaking the law with respect to interfering in the election. He showed 10 instances of obstruction of justice by the president. He showed instance after instance of the president lying to the American people or instructing other people to lie to the American people or to investigators. This has to come out so that people understand it and so we can go on from there.
All right, so I'm not going to play the whole thing, but he goes on like, so they are really cognizant of portioning out the time and the questioning, and allegedly they have a plan. And I say allegedly because these are the Democrats we're talking about and they keep fucking up left and right.
Meanwhile, confirmed, Robert Mueller has asked that his longtime right-hand aide, Aaron Zebley, to be sworn in not a witness exactly. He said, longtime right-hand Aaron Zebley won't be sworn in, but he will serve as counsel for the witness so that he, if he needs to rely on him, if he can't answer something, he'll have somebody there who can help him out.
Okay. Oh, that. So I was wondering why he had somebody else who was going to be sworn in. He's the only witness who's going to be speaking. And I don't want anyone else talking. I want him to use it. Look, we only have 5 hours. I want all five of those hours to be used.
Oh, right. But it's a good thing because if he's not allowed to, if, you know, quote, not allowed, if he feels he can't answer something, perhaps this person can.
Mm-hmm.
Also, going back to our Dennis Campbell moment there, Charles Blow said, pay attention, folks. This moment isn't only about Donald Trump or Boris Johnson. It's about a moment of panic, backlash, and retrenchment sweeping the white Western world. That's really important.
Mm-hmm.
People need to pay attention. He's absolutely right. And then from yesterday, we have a couple of minutes. Let's see. Wendy Davis is announcing a bid for Congress. So that's
she's
good
running
against Representative Chip Roy.
Yes, Chip Roy. And Chip Roy is one of the people who, again, I've got all these stuff from What's News that we didn't do today, the spending deal they came to terms with. So they made a deal. You know, they were supposed to get the debt limit thing done, and they made it a 2-year deal. It suspends the debt ceiling until July of 2021. It eliminates the sequester budget caps put in place in 2011. The next steps are getting the deal through Congress and then Trump's signature on the page because, you know, he's being criticized so strongly from the right. Then this is something he said that he wants to sign. We'll see if that changes. Anyway, this guy, Chip Roy, his quote was, to the best of my knowledge, the current spending, quote, deal fails in virtually all respects, setting aside more support for defense. It busts caps further, increases debt, funds Planned Parenthood, yet does not fund ICE and border security fully. So it does not hashtag do what we said. So there are some on the right who are fighting this, which may cause Trump to change his mind as he does all the time. But it also got this Chip Roy guy a challenger in Wendy Davis.
Yes. Yes. Well, let's hope that she gets somewhere with this. And finally, because we're almost there, Adam Park. Oh, God. Parkhomenko. Hemenko. Uh-huh. He's a Democratic strategist, and right. I can't say his name. Trump takes a break from racism to tell us he studied nuking a foreign country and killing 10 million. Remember when the worst thing about Mondays was the end of the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll leave it there.
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay. So tomorrow, here's the game plan tomorrow. So the festivities are supposed to be, I guess the pregame show begins at 8:30 in the morning. I will, I'll get up super early, get what's news done, and be set up to record and watch in my studio so I can flag pertinent clips that I want to pull. I'll watch it. Who knows? At some time, I could just decide to turn on the stream and go live. This is the beauty of working for oneself. Or I'll just gather stuff and come on live at our usual time at 3 o'clock Eastern. There is no guest booked for tomorrow, so it's just us and Mueller. So thanks to you all for being here today. Eat a healthy breakfast tomorrow and come ready for Mueller time. See you then. Thanks, everyone. Bye.